Good evening, everyone. So my mic is on and it's working then. Good. Now, first of all, I need to announce a deviation from the published program. It says I'm speaking about perfect in Christ or complete in Christ, but actually I'm speaking about the opposite in a way. The advertised title is about us being in Christ, but I want to concentrate tonight on Christ being in us. It's the other half of the coin, and it's very, very important. Now, it's quite difficult for us at this distance in time to realize what was happening at the church in Colossae to whom this letter Paul wrote. It's difficult because we don't have quite the same heresy, if you like, coming in our face. I think the nearest we can get to it is a new age. In America, one survey said that 25% of Americans are involved in one way or the other in the New Age movement. I don't know if that figure is correct, but I suspect that quite a few people in our own country are also involved in it in one way or the other. And looking online, I found a very touching testimony from a person called Evelyn Madel. She was one of those involved in the New Age movement. But actually, she was brought up in a church. She was baptized, confirmed, and married in church. But she got to a point in her life, which she shares, where an occasional Sunday service just didn't hack it for her. She just felt that wasn't good enough. So she went out looking for something more and found New Age books, which she devoured quite quickly. But even then, after devouring them all, she says, and I quote her here, "After reading all those books about the New Age movement, none of this filled me up." She just felt it didn't meet her need. So, trembling, she went back to church. She was a little bit afraid that the people in her church would condemn her because she'd been dabbling in the New Age, but they didn't. And instead of finding religion, she found Christ. And perhaps that is the nearest we can get to what was going on in the church at Colossae, because people had come into that church, a new church, freshly planted by one of Paul's converts, and they came in with something which was rather attractive. That these people, they claimed to have visions of angels in which they were revealed secrets that could take you up to the next level of spirituality. And it was almost like it was one of those mystery religions we hear about in the first century Roman world. And it was very attractive to them. They were in danger of being deceived. Paul writes to them and he says, "Don't do this. This is a deception. Actually, you have in Christ everything you long for, everything you need." And he says, "You've been offered a mystery by these guys. Well, listen to this. The Christian secret is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So let's look at this, what it means, and see if we can just explore a little of it. First of all, even though this is called a mystery, I'm going to call it a secret, because it was kept secret or hidden for a while. Now, a few years ago, when the family was growing up, we decided to go up to Scotland. And we were looking for Scotland's top secret bunker. So what was really odd was that it was very well signposted. Also, this way to the top secret bunker. Of course, it had once been secret. It was very impressive, actually, to go down. Just a small building above ground, and you went down into the ground, and there it was, the HQ with communications, with hot beds where people could sleep. They were accommodating there. Very impressive. Even part of it was still being used for secret purposes, and we were not allowed in there. But it had once been top secret. But when the Cold War finished, no longer. And the same, similar, we could say, for God's mystery, which is Christ. In the past, it had been kept hidden. But now in Christ it was disclosed. Now we regularly read Isaiah chapter, 53, the suffering servant. And we have no trouble seeing this is all about Jesus. But before Jesus came, it was not clear to people that that was about Jesus. He hadn't come yet. It was a bit of a mystery. Only when Christ came did it become clear that the whole of the Old Testament revelation spoken to the Jews was really about Jesus. And so the thing that had been hidden was now revealed. And Paul says, this is the mystery that you really need to know about, not that one that these people with their angelic visions are offering you. Christ is all you need. Have you ever read any books about other sects? Read a book about the Mormons, or the Jehovah's Witnesses, or you name it. Now, actually, when you read the book and then you speak to one of the members of that sect, you find it's not quite what they were leading you to believe. But they seem to do it. The book, usually, that I've read anyway, they outline the different points that the heresy holds, the sect holds, and then gives you the biblical answer to it. Paul does not use that method. He's more saying, "Don't. This is a deception. Christ is just so much better. Don't bother with that." So, for instance, he talks about the supremacy of Christ. We don't need their secret knowledge, because in Christ we have all the knowledge and wisdom we need. In him are hidden all the, what does it says here, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We don't need visions of angels to tell us about God, because we can go direct to God in Christ. And he will tell us all about that. When we were working in the Philippines, I went around visiting people who wanted to talk to me. And I was meeting regularly with one lady who worked in the municipal office. And she was Roman Catholic, like most of the people in the Philippines. And I came up there to talk to her. She said, "Nick, I don't know if you can help me. I have a problem, you see. I went to my priest to confess, and he told me that my sin was so serious, I had to go to the bishop. Because he just didn't have enough clearance to do it." Well, I think you can guess what I told her. You don't need to go to the priest or to the bishop. You can go straight to Christ. And you can tell him that. I just offered her, I didn't say you're wrong. Just told her a better way. We don't need these visions of angels, we have Christ. We don't even need that set of rules that you say those angels told you about. Actually, if you look at the rules in Colossians that Paul mentions, they sound like they were mainly Jewish, about certain foods you couldn't eat, and like certain things you couldn't touch. And Paul says, you don't need them. They only make you a slave. And anyway, basically, you'd have to become a Jew to obey them. But I'm going to tell you this secret, this mystery of Christ, it's open for whatever race you are, whether you're a Jew and used to those rules, or you're Gentile and you're not, because it doesn't stand on the rules. There's only one important thing in knowing Christ, not the rules, not the visions. Christ in you, in me, is the thing that counts. Let's talk about Christ's powerful presence. Of course, the philosophy of these men, if they were men, I suspect they were, who were offering this mystery or secret to the believers in Colossae, it sounded good. It really did sound good. It sounded so spiritual. But the problem was, it led them away from Christ. Because these deceivers, did they spend all their time talking about Jesus? No. They spent all their time talking about their experience and encounter with angels. And it's a little bit of a warning to us. If we spend all our time talking about our spiritual experience, something is wrong. We should spend all our time talking about Jesus, not just about our spiritual experiences. So it sounded spiritual, but it led them away from Christ. It sounded good. You know, it had a whole set of rules. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. But there was one problem with it all. It didn't help you when it came to facing sensual desire. It just didn't hack it when it came to temptation. You know, to me, and I'm letting out my age here, it sounds too much like some of the rules that evangelicals had in the 60s. Do not touch, do not taste. Paul would have immediately said, I tried all those rules when I was a Pharisee. It just didn't work. A few months ago, I bought a power pack to charge my mobile phone. I saw it on the internet. It looked good. It was cheap. That was very important. I bought it, plugged it in. Guess what? It didn't work. No. So what did I do? Yeah, I asked for my money back. That's what you do. It doesn't work. And these rules, they didn't work. They had no power. The only secret that really works is Christ in us. You know, Paul knew about that because he, as a Pharisee, he had tried in his own strength to please God. He knew he couldn't do it. Now, he had this tireless ministry. Does it just make you feel exhausted just to read about it? What does he say here? At the end of chapter 1, to this end I labor, struggling with all the energy, his energy, which so powerfully works in me. So he's really strenuous. It's just almost exhausting just to read it. But where did all that energy come from? From him? No. From his power, which works so powerfully in him. And Paul so often talks about the wonder of Christ being in him. You may know that verse from Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I remember in the early days when my wife and I, Riley and I, went to the Philippines. It was tough. The pressure on us for various learning the language, culture, the heat, the humidity, I just seemed to crack up. All my flaws were exposed. I don't know how many times I said to God, God, I can't do this. Please send somebody else. And sometimes we all feel like that. And I didn't get an answer straight away, but now I know what the answer is. God doesn't expect us to do it ourselves, in a way. We have to trust in what he's told us, which is what? Christ in us. Christ is there, and he's working powerfully. So the answer is, and I've had to just put this into practice time and time again, get on with it. Trust him that he's there. Depend on him. He won't let you down. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So the big need for us is not to pray, God, give me more strength. No, I don't think so. Paul doesn't pray that for these believers. In chapter 2, he prays that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of Christ. That mystery, namely Christ, the mystery of God. What we need is to fully grasp, and it takes some grasping, that Christ lives in us and we can depend on him when it comes to service. And that there's no such thing as, in a way, I can't do this. Paul had a can-do attitude. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Finally, our certain hope. Now let's have a look at this phrase. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And there's two words that are commonly misunderstood. Hope. What is hope? Is it kind of a wish that we want to come true? No, not in the Bible it isn't. Hope is the confident expectation of the Christian of what God has promised us. God has promised us. If God has promised it, we can be certain that it's ours. And so this is not just a wish. This is a certainty that is grasped by faith for us who believe in Jesus. And glory. Well, what is glory? What is this hope of glory? Now, I used to think this was heaven. It's the hope of heaven. But heaven is kind of a rather fluffy thing. So you have this idea of kind of angels floating around in the clouds. And perhaps us with them. But that's not what glory is here. This hope of glory is something far, far better. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 8. The glory to be revealed in us. So he says, creation waits in expectation for the sons of God, the children of God, to be revealed. And when is that going to happen? Well, when creation is renewed, when we as believers receive our resurrection bodies and get to live with God in that new creation. It's something very solid indeed. It's the city of God, the new heavens and the new earth. You know, we're six in our family. And I was always considered a bit of the boffin, the science person in our family. And so in the 60s, when they were starting to bring out all different gadgets, nothing like now, but they were, they brought out this miniature television. It had a screen about that size. But guess how long it was? It was that long because it had a big cathode ray tube to back it up. So my brother, my younger brother, Gary, asked me, knowing that I had this reputation of being a science boffin, he said, Nick, do you ever think they will make a TV that is flat? I said, no way. How wrong could I be? He just reminded me of that, much to my embarrassment, a year or two ago. I'd really forgotten what I said then. But what God has got in store for us, this hope of glory, is beyond our imagination. We get some description of it, but it really blows the mind. And why can we be sure of that hope of glory? Because God has given us the Holy Spirit, and Christ lives in us by the Holy Spirit. And he is the down payment. And even while we go through some pretty tough times in this life, God is working in us, preparing us for the glory that is to come. So whatever difficulty, and there are plenty of them, come our way, we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, we have here God's open secret. It used to be hidden, but it's open to everybody. We have God's powerful presence in our lives that we can rely on. And we have our certain hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's something we can be completely sure of. And it can keep us going when everything seems to be falling apart. Now, I wonder really here, God's secret is an open secret, so say. Why is it then that so many people don't know about it? It's pretty wonderful. Well, there could be two reasons why some people don't hear a message. One reason could be that the people we're speaking to have got their hands over their ears. They don't want to hear. They won't hear. They're intentionally deaf. There are some people like that, that even if we share Christ with them, they're deaf. And the Bible says they're blind as well to those spiritual things. They can't hear because they're deaf. We should pray for them, that God would open their ears so that the deaf will hear. But there's another reason why they haven't heard. Even though it's been over 2,000 years since Christ came, it's because no one has ever told them. When we were in Myanmar 3 years ago, we saw Buddhism in the raw. It's not very much like Buddhism here. And Did you know there are 30 million Buddhists, the very poor Buddhists actually, farmers in the centre of Myanmar, and there's about 0.01% of them are Christian. Why? Well, I suppose it's very difficult to get in there, actually. You have to get permission from the government to travel there. But they've never heard. And that puts on us all the responsibility to pray and maybe to give and to go so that God's open secret, this wonderful secret about Christ in us, the hope of glory, will be known.